You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Sigrid Nunez's latest novel, Salvation City, is set in a post-apocalyptic world that's been ravaged by a flu pandemic. Her protagonist is Cole Vining, a 14-year-old boy who survived the flu but has been left orphaned and now finds himself adopted and taken to a new home in Salvation City, Indiana. The New York Times called it a fine tale, avoiding cliches and providing powerful insights. It's published by Riverhead Books. I'm very pleased that it brings Sigrid Nunez back to our show. Hello.
Glad to be here.
So set the scene of this book for us. How has this flu pandemic affected the world?
Well, you use the term post-apocalyptic, which is really too strong, because that suggests that the pandemic has destroyed the world, and that's not really what happened.
Seems to have destroyed the cities.
Just as with the Great Flu in 1918, which was a terrible, terrible tragedy, a catastrophe, life did return to normal. And so what happens with this pandemic is that it has terrible effects on the world, but the world is beginning to set itself to rights again. So it's not really post-apocalyptic, because there isn't really any apocalypse. There's no end of the world there. But Cole is one of many people who comes down with the flu. Not only that, both of his parents come down with it, so he loses them. And after being in the hospital for a while, he then goes to an orphanage, which is not a very happy place.
Sounds like you were reading Dickens at the time.
Well, the word Dickensian, a lot of people have been using the word Dickensian to describe this orphanage, inevitably, I guess. But then he's adopted into the home of a evangelical pastor and his wife, Tracy, Pastor Wyatt, who likes to call himself P.W., and Tracy. And Cole has never learned anything at all about Christianity. He knows absolutely nothing. And the first thing that P.W. and his wife set about doing is converting and saving him, trying to make him understand what it means to take Jesus as his Savior. And this is very confusing for him, because part of that involves believing that his parents, his mother was Jewish, his father was an atheist, they were both atheists. Part of the problem is that he has to accept that they are damned eternally to hell. And he has to try to make sense of this.
He also has to adjust to a town where pretty much everybody is a believer. And he's not only an outsider because he's an orphan, because he's from the city, but also because this is all like a new language to him.
But this
could really happen today, couldn't it? I mean, you've set the story in the very near future, and I get the feeling that if somebody were orphaned to certain towns in the United States, he might very well find himself in a very similar situation.
Well, it could happen just as the pandemic could happen. I mean, this is not a futuristic book. It's not a science fiction novel. But, I mean, my idea of the near future was really the immediate future, what would happen. We've been told for quite a while that there is a possibility, a strong one, that there will be another flu pandemic. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a series of what ifs. Well, what if there were to be one? There would be a lot of orphan children, and what would happen to them. And this is one possibility in a particular area of the country, that he could end up with this foster family.
There is no Salvation City, Indiana.
No, I invented the name of the town.
What role do children and teenagers have in this kind of town?
Role, I'm not sure. They are the same as they would be in any other community.
Well, Cole is of that at that point in puberty, where he's thinking about girls and sex, and you have to think about it here. But it would not be the same for him as it would have been if he had remained in Chicago or in a bigger town.
Well, as Pastor Wyatt says to Cole, we ain't the Taliban. We like a pretty face and a pretty dress, and we know that that sometimes a man's got to have a drink, and sometimes he's just got to cuss. In fact, there are different kinds of evangelical communities, and this is not a strict fundamentalist community. So he you know, he is very, very shy, and he does have a strong crush on a girl named Starlin, but he keeps it to himself.
The reason I mentioned that was Cole's parents weren't prepared for a catastrophe, but P.W. and the residents of Salvation City are always prepared for the end of the world.
Spiritually, anyway, yes. Yeah. So, yes.
Because and they see the world differently as a result of that. If you think that the apocalypse is nigh, and we're going to go through the second coming, the rapture and all of that, you have a very different way of dealing with the day-to-day.
Yes, because in Salvation City, they had been believing that the end was near well before the pandemic. But the pandemic increases a certain kind of hysteria about it. They're not unhappy about the idea that the end is coming because it's going to bring great and wonderful things for them. And in fact, they even have a joke that they tell when somebody is sad. They say, well, don't cry. It's not like it's not the end of the world.
My guest is Sigrid Nunez, the author of novels, any number of novels, including The Last of Her Kind, A Feather on the Breath of God, and For Rowena, her most recent Salvation City, which is published by Riverhead Books. Could you read a bit for us?
Yes, I will. Thank you. This part that I'm reading from, here Cole is in the hospital. He's recovered from the flu. He's still recovering. But at this point, both of his parents are dead. When he was in the hospital, a volunteer grief counselor came to see him. She took him out to the courtyard where roses the size of melons were in bloom. What I'd like you to do for me, she said, is to think back to a time when you and your mom and dad were all very happy and describe that time for me. The woman's name was Eden. She was not a comforting sight. She had hooded eyes and deep dark lines running down her cheeks as if she had wept acid. They sat on a bench near a small fountain whose gurgle sounded like birdsong. There was real birdsong, too, and it almost hurt his ears, it was so shrill and excited. The day was cloudy. He had not been outdoors in weeks, and he was sharply aware of the light and the air, almost as if he were experiencing them for the first time. Though he was well covered up, he felt naked. The least breeze made him shiver. The smell of the roses was strong, almost sickening, like the perfume of old ladies. He didn't want to talk about the happy time, and so he invented something, some story that he then forgot almost immediately. But he would remember later how he'd gone on and on, dragging the fake story out, and how Eden had listened, watching him curiously, not interrupting until he finally stopped talking. Then she made no comment except to thank him for sharing. He had no idea if she knew that he lied, but it seemed to him that as she listened, her mouth had tensed and something like dislike had crept into her face.
Sigrid Nunez reading from her new novel, Salvation City. Isn't it a challenge to write credibly through the eyes of someone who's not a fully formed adult? Is that why you tell the story in third person rather than first?
I think you can tell a very good story from the eyes of a young person. I mean, it's been done, but here...
But they're limited to the insights that a kid can have.
Yes, you can do more if you have both. If you have, so that's what I did. I have a third-person narrator, but I also constantly go into Cole's mind. You see a lot from his point of view, even though he's not the narrator.
What got you thinking about this as the theme for a novel?
The pandemic, I started this novel a couple of years before the swine flu scare of 2009. It had been on my mind.
There have been SARS.
Yes, and it's something to think about. So that was one thing. And then I really did want to write a story about a younger person because I hadn't done that before. And I wanted to write to have a male as my main character this time because I hadn't done that before. And again, something in the near future.
It sounds to me like you set yourself a series of challenges and because you don't want to just do what you've been doing.
Yeah, whenever I start a new book, I want to do something that's different from what I did before. Yeah.
Then you also have to come up with a plot.
You do, but that is the job, right? That's the right.
And I don't want to give away
the writer's job.
I don't want to give away some of the surprises that occur during the book. But some people might have assumed that you would have been a lot more critical of P.W. and his wife. But you seem to be as sympathetic to P.W. and Tracy as you are to Cole and pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, I do hear that a lot. Like, why aren't you more critical of these evangelical Christians? But, you know, I'm not a satirist, and the book is not satire. So I didn't, you know, I never thought of them as sort of cartoonish characters or kind of stereotypes. I really wanted to write about those characters, the Christian characters, the way I would write about any other characters, you know, kind of exploring their full humanity. And, you know, there's a lot that I dislike about Pastor Wyatt and other people in Salvation City. You know, their narrow-mindedness, their lack of intellectual curiosity, their sort of casual bigotry. But I feel that when you really examine a person closely, not a character in a book, but a human being, for me, you know, I always find something that I am sympathetic to and that I want to know more about. And I don't want to reject anyone. And I also don't want to be rejected by anyone just because there is this great difference in beliefs.
Well, there's always a danger of using a book as a way of expressing your personal opinions, because then the characters stop being believable and they just become mouthpieces for different positions.
Yes, I mean, as I say, I mean, there are books, there are satirical works that are excellent that do exactly that. But that wasn't really what I was interested in.
Have you spent any time in a community like this city?
I've never spent any time in an evangelical community. I've known evangelical Christians. I've spent time in Indiana, in southern Indiana, and other places where there were a lot of Christians. But living in such a community, no.
What about Cole definitely is an outsider here, and I was wondering whether this is something that does grow out of the circumstances of your life, your mixed heritages, and I mean, you're part Chinese, part German. Your name is
right. My mother's German. My father was half Chinese, half Panamanian. Uh-huh. But I grew up in New York. Well, you know, I haven't actually thought about that. I think that writers in general, maybe artists in general, tend to think of themselves a little bit as outsiders, whether they truly are or not. I can't say I do identify with Cole only, but really in the sense of that teenage angst, you know, being that age and trying to figure out what's real, what's true, you know, like the Holden Caulfield idea, everything is a lie. Adults are all toxic. I mean, this, you know, I can reach back and remember having that kind of feeling very strongly.
Sigrid, you were right.
No, I was just going to say, I still feel that to some extent. There's something about, in this case, he's had two sets of parents, and both sets in their own way stand in the way, without meaning to, of his moral and spiritual growth.
Sigrid Nunez's latest novel is Salvation City. It is published by Riverhead Books. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.